Powerful storms that raked northeast Ohio last evening. A suspected tornado touched down in Windham. It's about 30 miles southeast of downtown Cleveland. Stocks opening higher this morning on Wall Street. More details, srnnews.com.
Conservative Theological University has provided biblical theological education for God's pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and Christian educators since 1982. CTU would be delighted to assist you in your Bible studies. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing today for our edification, for your information, Dr. Linda Thompson. She is the candidate for School Board Race District 5 in St. John's County. We have had an interesting communication thus far. I pray that if you have interest in the school board race in St. John's County, you're concerned about where your kids or grandkids are being taught, you're concerned about the direction for the school systems in general, pick up the telephone and dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Dr. Thompson, again, thank you for joining us today. It's a busy schedule, I know, on the campaign trail. I've got 4 sons. 3 of them have run campaigns for different spots. One of our sons has run 5 different campaigns, elected 3 times in 3 offices in his lifetime before he retired and moved to Tennessee. He calls it the southern tip of heaven up there in northeast Tennessee. But I'm thankful that you're taking your time. You're willing to invest your life for the purpose of educating our kids. I'm thankful for that. Let me ask you a question. I'm familiar with it for Duval County, but not for St. John's County. What is the cost per student, kindergarten through 12th grade? What do taxpayers pay per student for the education in St. John's County?
Well, of course, they all get the same student funding from the state of Florida. So that's the basic funding amount, and that's what parents can use to transfer to a private school or a Christian school or a charter school, wherever they would like to go. The money follows the child. Mm-hmm. So that state money goes to where it to each child wherever they live, whatever right. county, and it's the same amount. What we find in St. John's County is, for example, we like to offer 7 choices in the 7 period day for middle school and high school students, and the state only funds 6 of those 7 periods. So we have to use local taxpayer dollars to pay that extra amount. For that extra period that all of our students in middle school and high school receive. I can't tell you off the top of my head exactly how many dollars that is.
I wondered because in Duval County it's $14,000 per student, kindergarten through high school.
It's not that
and
much.
The unfortunate thing is much of that money does not trickle down to the teachers in the classroom for the educational process.
Right.
Much of that money is going to administrative costs, which I think is top heavy. I don't know about St. John's County, but I believe it's top heavy in most of our school boards across America. And thus, the teachers many times are spending money out of pocket to buy things that they ought to be paid for by taxpayer dollars. But because the administrative head gets so heavy with the hiring of people, that it does not trickle down to the student. So I'm always concerned about that aspect of it, and realizing that many times the school boards are short on funds because of the way it's spent. Now, recently I heard the news that they're planning on building 6 additional schools in St. John's County.
Right. We have so much growth.
Good. I was going to ask you, explain that for me.
Keeping up with that growth is phenomenal. We're building more than one school a year, every single year, because we have all of these students and nowhere to put them.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a tremendous expense with building those schools. And fortunately, we passed in St. John's County a half-cent sales tax that is actually going to be coming up for voters to vote on again. But over the last 10 years, we've been able to fund all of these new buildings by using that half-cent sales tax and other funds that come when you mm-hmm. open a new school.
Dr. Thompson, I'm going to switch gears for a moment. In some of your dialogue, you touched on it, but I don't know if our listeners really understand the terms. You touched on the fact of the CRT and the DEI.
Right.
Explain those two issues
what they
to
are.
Our listeners, and why it's so important that that be eradicated in our schools.
Okay. Well, let's start with CRT. That's critical race theory. And it's not a class that you would take mm-hmm. in critical race theory. It's not a book that you would read. It is kind of a philosophy that is expressed in a lot of our textbooks and mm-hmm. Resources that teachers are given. And the essence of it is that white people are inherently guilty of prejudice just by mm-hmm. virtue of the fact that they're white
mm-hmm.
and that they live in a nice neighborhood, and that other races have been discriminated against just by virtue of their skin color and are now entitled to some compensation for the prejudice that they have suffered at the hands of white people over the years. And it's sort of trying to make young children aware of these possible prejudices. And I believe that it actually contributes to more prejudice, because
Absolutely.
They were all in class together, playing together, eating together, mm-hmm. playing in the band mm-hmm. together, enjoying each other as people, before we made such an issue of this kid's white and he's guilty,
mm-hmm.
and this kid's another color and he's not
guilty. So that's what you and I both would agree. You and I both would agree that's indoctrination and not education.
It is certainly not what most parents send their kids to school to learn. And you mentioned the fact of difficulty that we are having with the math skills and the reading skills, and I have some information I can share about that. We really need to spend our time and energy working on the 3 R's.
Yes, absolutely.
Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
One of the things that I find disingenuous, back in the 60s, we had legislation that passed, laws on the books today, that should stop discrimination. And now we're finding reverse discrimination. For example, Harvard University having a separate graduation, one for white students and one for color students, one for
right.
people as students of color. I think it's segmenting, dividing, and causing grave harm in our society today. So I'm in agreement with you. I believe that ought not to be any part of the curriculum. And Dr. Thompson, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't we have laws today in the state of Florida that makes it illegal for that to continue in a classroom?
We do.
That Ron DeSantis signed
yes,
a year ago.
Governor DeSantis signed legislation that was not to occur. And there's issues with that. People who don't agree with him and have, brought that into question. But at the moment, it is the state law in Florida.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I believe the state law can be followed in our educational system.
Absolutely.
In this case, at least. And then with DEI, is very similar to that, is diversity, equity, and inclusion, where there's the mindset that you've got to drill into that student that there's a difference. Rather than looking at the face of the issue of education. It again is part of the indoctrinational system. And you've said two or three times now, and I'm in total agreement, and I believe our listeners need to grasp what you're saying. We need to eliminate that from our public school system, from the classroom, so that each student has an equal opportunity in that classroom, regardless of ethnicity or background or education that they come from.
Absolutely.
They need to be taught equally in that classroom.
Absolutely.
I'm in full agreement with that. So I'm thankful that you are running your stand on that. Tell our listeners once again how they can reach you, how they can become a part of your campaign, how they can hold your hands up and help in this race for that office.
Thank you for asking. They can contact me through my website, which is vote4, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, Thompson, T-H-O-M-S-O-N, .com. And on that website, they can leave comments or make a donation or contact me. On my literature that I've been handing out door to door, I have my home phone number and my home email. And I tell all of the people I talk to, if you elect me, hold on to this card, because if you elect me, you're going to have a friend on the school board that you can pick up the phone and call.
I'm looking at your card, Dr. Thompson.
Yes.
41 years of educational experience, former principal, Nice High School, former SJSD, Director of Curriculum. Those terms are not St. John's County.
Yeah.
Principal conservative. Not to indoctrination, no to indoctrination in our schools. That's what we're just talking about.
Right, absolutely.
It's indoctrination. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, you need to be vitally concerned about what our students are being taught. In fact, in many occasions, and I've read thousands of articles in relationship to the educational process across America, and multitudes of teachers that are going against the parents' wishes, admonish the student. Don't you dare tell mom and dad what we're teaching. Don't you tell mom and dad what we're talking about. Don't let them see your textbook, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Dr. Thompson just illustrated a moment ago where in one of the school board meetings, a parent was reading some of the garbage out of one of the textbooks, and they shut it down and did not want that to be audible in the hearing of the students or a child. And yet that's in our classrooms today. I can't emphasize it enough. It's demoralizing, destroying the morals, ethics, and values that God would have us to place in our sons and daughters. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6, God's Word admonishes moms and dads, parents, to teach our children day in and day out and constantly. God holds parents responsible for our education. And yet we're finding today, Dr. Thompson, that so many educators, as they're called, school board members, feel that parents should be shut out, feel that parents should have no say-so in it, feel that parents should be quiet and not be heard or seen. In fact, I think I need to bring this out. A year and a half ago, Merrick Garland, the Department of Justice, drew up a 32-page document of saying that, and sending it to the FBI director, Christopher Wray, that it needs to be enforced. And if a parent goes to a school board meeting under that document, and it's being enforced across the nation, it's still in effect and has not been totally removed. But if a parent goes to a school board and challenges that school board on what the school is being school is teaching that child in the classroom, they're considered domestic terrorists.
Exactly.
And so we're finding many, many of the school board members, not just in St. John's County, not just in Duval County, but across the nation, that feels that they need to buckle to that and not allow the parent to have say-so. So, Dr. Thompson, what is your opinion? What is your position? What is your philosophical rationale? Who's in control of that child's education? Who's really in control? The educational system, the parent, or just the books that are published for the money in it?
Well, the books are a huge control, because mm-hmm. that's the resource that teachers use
that's right.
to prepare their lessons. They will tell the student, read chapter 5, mm-hmm. or read the first 3 sections and answer these questions. Well, if that book is written with those particular viewpoints in mind, it gives the students who are the innocent recipients of these mm-hmm. this instruction, it gives them a slanted view, and they grow up thinking that that's the correct view, because
yes.
that's how they've been taught.
That's what the teacher says.
And mm-hmm. the teacher said it, and well, mm-hmm. I read it in a book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think books are a huge controller of what's taught. because a lot of teachers really do find difficulty going and getting material from scratch. Mm-hmm. They're going to use the book that's adopted by the state.
Yes.
And approved and purchased by the school system. So,
and many times that approval and purchase by the school system based on the top-down rationale, and the top-down rationale says the politicians, and the politicians are saying what the lobbyists might say, that this is the publisher, and this is the textbook that you need to use. That's generally
do.
The way it goes.
Right. That's
and so
the way it goes.
What would you say from the standpoint of the priorities would be in a classroom and the classroom setting from the standpoint of education? And let me just give a little more clarity to that thought. I'm for allowing the money to follow the student.
Right.
And not allowing the educational system directing and demanding that a student go in a certain place. So the voucher system, et cetera. Explain that and your position on it.
Well, Governor DeSantis, again, has passed legislation, signed legislation, that now allows that to occur in Florida.
Yes.
It used to be only for students with disabilities who or were in a certain income level, but now any student can go anywhere and the money follows them. You can even go to another county if there's space in the building, I should say that. They can't, like our schools in St. John's are so crowded right now that I don't think we're accepting a lot of students from other counties.
Yes.
But we do have some schools that are not as crowded and would accept students. But that's the principle of that, was that the money would follow the student, and that would empower parents to put their student wherever they thought was the best setting for that child
yeah.
to learn.
Well, I've historically said for many, many, many years, and I'm glad to see us doing that in the state of Florida now.
Absolutely.
That those dollars, let's say in Duval County, whatever county you're speaking of at the time, whatever the dollars are that's for the kindergarten through high school, that they voucher for that amount, go to the parent for that
right.
student. And that parent can place that student in a parochial school, a Christian school, a charter school, a homeschool system,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. Leave it up to the parent. Let the money follow the student. Rather than it being top-down demand of where the student goes.
Right.
And that does not, and Dr. Thompson, I need some clarification on this. There are a lot of educators that say that's diminishing the local school system and taking money away. Well, I've studied that system, and here's my findings. When a charter school opens, whatever the funds are per student for that local school, a charter school gets 66% of that. So it is not taking money away. It's leaving net reserve in the till. For that local school board. And yet that's the argument against the charter schools and against the private schools, our parochial schools, etc. So I find it disingenuous. And yet we have in the state of Florida now finally that where the money follows the student. Let me ask you a question that I think is pertinent for the conversation.
Okay.
Can you explain to us about the literacy rate in the public school system today?
I'm glad you asked about that. Of course, I am most knowledgeable about the literacy rate in St. John's County
mm-hmm.
because that's where my grandchildren
yes.
go, and that's where I've worked, and that's where I want to make sure the literacy rate is good. And I will tell you that St. John's is an amazing county. We are the number one school district in the state when,
yes.
when you rank all, by the factors of reading scores and those kinds of things, math scores and so forth. And I have my own grandchildren in St. John's County, so I'm very impressed with this school system.
Yes.
However, we do not have the success rate that I would like to have. We spend a lot of time and energy monitoring kids, testing their reading, and then differentiating instruction based on what we find their deficits are when we do that testing.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of time and energy that teachers spend on all of that. And that's all good. But even with all of that effort, we still have only 3 out of 4 of our students in third grade are reading on grade level, which means 1 out of every 4 kids is not on grade level. They're below grade level. And that would be great if we could fix that. However, when we go and look at 10th grade literacy scores, after years of differentiation and all of the things that teachers are trying to do to help these kids, in 10th grade, we have the same data. It's still 3 out of 4 are successful
yes.
and 1 out of 4 are not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't read on grade level, you're going to be handicapped in everything that you try to do for your future. And I'm not advocating that everybody goes to college, but we or must go to college, but they do have to be able to read to be successful. And I will give you one other statistic. The ACT test, which is the American College Testing Service, and that's one of the scores that kids use to get into colleges. Not every kid takes that test, but those that do are usually kids that are headed for college. And what they have reported for St. John's County is that only one out of three of our students are actually ready to go to college and take college-level courses. In other words, they don't have to do remedial courses that are on a high school level. To walk right into a college-level course, only one out of three of our students are ready for college in the subjects of reading, writing, math, and science.
So makes a vast difference, indeed.
One out of three. Parents would not be happy if their child is one of those three.
And would you say, Dr. Thomas, I'm not trying to put you on a plateau, a pedestal in asking the question, but would you say that with your educational credentials and background, you can address those issues more than your, how would you say, competitive candidates? Tell us about what differentiates you from those that are running for the same slot.
Well, I didn't mention it earlier, but I do have a bachelor's in math, but the master's in counseling, and then I have a doctorate in education, leadership, and supervision, which actually qualifies me to be a school superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that competitors don't have. They don't have the 41 years in the schools that I've had. But I think the critical thing is the responsibility that I had when I was in charge of curriculum for the entire school district, making sure that teachers knew what they were supposed to be teaching and had the materials that they needed and had the proper training. Those are critical aspects, and that's the best that we can do, is give our teachers the tools, make sure that they have them adequately, and give them training on how to move forward.
Amen.
And then the rest comes from their heart.
So you're saying that you believe your position as a school board, member of the school board for District 5, that you would view yourself as the gatekeeper for the protection of a proper education for that child?
I think that's would be a flattering term.
Absolutely. I don't know that
I'm a gatekeeper. I think
I believe it should be.
Literacy is the real gatekeeper.
Yes.
Because if these kids can't read on grade level.
But the gatekeeper from the school board members being the gatekeeper for the textbooks, the literature, and the material that's placed in the hands of the teachers to do the teaching. You're responsible.
We are responsible for that, and we have to understand that relationship and know what to do to move forward.
Absolutely. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
I just got a quick question. How is the U.S. ranked education worldwide compared to other nations? Because I do remember in the last presidential election that the U.S. wasn't doing that well. I think it was from the middle on down compared to other countries like Japan, France, Germany. Can you tell us how is the U.S. ranked? Because I assume it's maybe better than anybody else in the world because they're teaching and indoctrinating those kids with the nonsense of gender and whatever. Do you know where we can find that out, or does she know how the U.S. is ranked worldwide compared to other nations? Thank you very much. In education. Thank you.
Thank you, Jose.
Well, I agree with you. You're about on target about where we rank. Educators here in the United States would tell you that that's because we educate all the children, and in some of the other countries that you mentioned, to continue to progress at higher and higher levels, you have to take tests and get permission to move on. So that's part of the story. I do think that we need to probably concentrate, Jose, a little bit more on that reading, writing, and arithmetic instead of all the other stuff that could be taught at home or in churches.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let me ask you a question, Dr. Thompson.
Yes.
I'm an advocate for school safety. I'll preface my question this way. I believe that in a school it should not be viewed as a gun-free zone. That invites problems. So also in a church it should not be considered a gun-free zone. That invites problems. What is your position for the school system in St. John's County from the standpoint of student safety, teacher safety, school campus safety? What are your thoughts for implementation of that factor?
I appreciate you bringing up safety, because that is the number one responsibility that we have.
Yes.
We can't teach if we're not in a safe environment. And that's a critical responsibility. And I also like that you mentioned teacher safety.
Yes.
We have to take care of our teachers.
Absolutely.
And our students.
Absolutely.
All of our employees. It's not just the kids.
Yes.
You know, well, we have to protect everybody. So I do think it's critical. And I have to say that it's something close to my heart, because I think of it, the responsibility, when the parent puts that child on the school bus in the morning and they're trusting that when the school bus driver is going to take care of their safety, and then they're going to deliver them at the school, and then the school is going to take care of them, and then they're going to come back home in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
This is their most precious possession that they're putting on that school bus. And we have to be good caretakers for that responsibility. I do think that you would be impressed if you got a look at the security that we have in St. John's County. In general, first of all of our buildings have been part of that half-cent sales tax that I was mentioning was used to upgrade the security in buildings so that we had safety, that somebody couldn't just come in. They're now behind bulletproof glass. Okay, mm-hmm. That kind of thing. And we also have a communication system now where any employee can push a button and it'll immediately alert people that there's a problem in the building. And I say people, I'm including the sheriff's office, so that there is an immediate response.
Yes.
Instead of waiting to tell the principal and then the principal calls the sheriff. You know, by that time, you could have several tragedies.
Absolutely.
As we've seen in other buildings.
Yes. So are you saying, because I'm not familiar with it, so I'll ask the question this way.
Okay.
Do you have St. John's County Sheriff's Department deputies on duty, or is it a school board, a police department?
We have the school board pays to have St. John's County officers on all campuses.
I'm for the local sheriff's department being the policing agent for any
they
school
are.
And yet you see some of them that are hiring the school police that then will cover the crimes so that it will not look like that's a bad school.
Right.
As a result of that, we're in danger, I think. Dr. Thompson, we've got about a minute left before our time runs completely out. Tell our listeners again how they can jump on board, lock arms with you, and help you win this race.
Thank you so much again for asking that. My website is vote VOTE for the number 4, Linda, LINDA, Thompson, without a P, THOMSON, .com. And there they can read more about me, they can donate, or they can volunteer to go walking, they can contact me by email. So I look forward to hearing from everybody. I need a lot of help.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Dr. Linda Thompson. She is the candidate for School Board District 5, school board race. The primary is coming up on August the 20th. So let me encourage you to vote. If you want conservative education, you want someone that's an educator and not just a political spot to run for, but an educator that's going to be in that seat, let me commend to you the lady that we interviewed today, Dr. Linda Thompson. Dr. Thompson, again, thank you so much for being with us. Looking forward to what God's going to do in your race. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1